Amen and amen. Okay, God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is the eternal, sovereign creator of everything in heaven and earth. Yes, sir, can you not hear me? Okay, now, God is the eternal, sovereign creator of everything in heaven and earth. Eternal, he always has been. Eternal, he always will be. Sovereign, that means that God has absolute control of everything in heaven and earth. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. God is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. He is God. And my friend, we have a privilege. You and I can kneel, bow our heads, and immediately we are at the throne of grace where we can meet with God and tell him what our needs are. And we can obtain mercy where God does not give us what we deserve. And we can obtain grace, God-given power to want to do his will and to do his will. Amazing how our God is. Let's go back to something I said a moment. God is my helper. Now think about that. He is our helper. Today, I want to share with you some things. My brother, can you turn the volume up just a little bit? I'm uncomfortable, and I think I'd be a little bit more comfortable, have just a little bit more power. Okay, can you hear me better? It didn't seem like to me that you could hear me. I didn't see anything out of you. Your eyeballs weren't even moving. So I thought I might need to wake you up a little bit. Okay. We're going to be talking about how you can become what God wants you to be. Now, what does God want you to be? He wants you to be able to minister to other people in their times of need. And where does that start? It starts when you allow him to teach you his principles, teach you his truth. You apply it to your life. See, you and I have never learned until we take the truth of God's word and apply it to our lives and allow it to change us. And then we can minister to others in their time of need. I think of God. He is our helper. And he cares. We're going to be, the sheet that you have is a sheet that I will be sharing with you in just a few moments. But just remember, there are some disciplines that we need to learn. Discipline number one, read the Bible. 1A, read the Bible. 2A is pray. Quiet time. Get alone with God. Spend time with God, bring your burdens and lay them up on the Lord. God says, casting all your burdens upon him and he will sustain you. So you bring your burdens to him. You have that quiet time where you fellowship with God every morning of the day. Quiet time. And then Bible, not just reading, but Bible study. This class here that Brother Mike teaches is a Bible study class. Our pastor, when he preaches, he is teaching the things that he has studied and God has taught him. And we can come and hear and we can be changed by not only reading the Word of God, praying, but taking the Word of God and study. But the third thing, and so important, apply the principles to our lives. I've got seven scriptures that you have in your hand. We're going to start with Jeremiah in just a few moments. We'll go through them, and I'm going to give you a summary statement about each of those. But I'm going to ask you to do something else. Memorize these scriptures. Now, I'm not asking you to do it between now and next Sunday, but do it. Start now. If you've not memorized these scriptures, start now to memorize them. and let them change your life and make you to be what God wants you to be. Think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to verse 3. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to listen to the statement class, to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It's so important that we apply the Word of God to our lives and that we receive the comfort of God's Word and the comfort of God's ministry to us in our hearts and lives. But it's so important that we apply that Scripture to our life so that when friends, neighbors, family have trouble, we can say, let me tell you, I had some troubles. And it's not like your trouble, but it was a trouble. And here's what God did with me and did for me. And you can share what God has done for you. That's your preparation for ministry, your preparation to be used of God. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen, verse 3. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Imaginations are evil desires. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God. This book is the revelation of God and the revelation of God's truth. And when you find anyone or anything that is exalted in opposition against the Word of God, your life can be corrupted by accepting truth that is not in harm, accepting falsehood as truth in opposition to the Word of God. And when you do that, the sad thing is this: you will lose the battle. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Think of that for a moment. Every thought in harmony, in obedience to what God says in His Word. And that is the goal for this class, that every one of us, that we would begin to think. When we sow a thought, we reap an action. When we sow an action, we reap a habit. When we sow a habit, we reach our destiny, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, so that when we sow a thought and we reap the action, it's an action that is in harmony with God and His Word. Now, it's so important for us to understand. Listen to Luke for a moment. Luke 71, Jesus says, it is impossible, but that offense has come. How long has it been since you were offended? I can tell you, the time between me being offended and this moment is a very small time. My pride will allow me to be offended very easily. I can drive down the road and be offended by the fellow that passes me. Laura and I were out yesterday, and we were driving in this car behind and another car in this lane over here, and all of a sudden, here comes a fellow. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Laura says, ah! I was offended. Class, bringing into obedience every thought to God's Word. Read the Bible, pray. Study the Bible, memorize the Bible, apply the Bible to your life. Be prepared to share with those who are in any trouble what God has been teaching you. There's another one. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 103rd Psalm. Psalm 103. Great Bible truth. I want to challenge you to do something else. All of these things we've talked about, but here's another one. Look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That should be about the first three verses, maybe a little bit further, right? Okay, now listen. Look, if you would, at verse 6. Verse 5 is where you quoted through. I want to ask you to practice praying Scripture back to God. Look at this verse. I'm going to illustrate praying Scripture. The Lord executeth righteousness for all and judgment for all that are oppressed. O Lord, I praise thee that you execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You made known your ways unto Moses, your acts unto the children of Israel. God, I praise thee that, God, you're merciful. I praise thee that you're gracious. I praise thee that you're slow to anger. I praise thee that you're plenteous in mercy. Right now, we're just simply praising God. Look at the next one. He will not always chide. And that's to argue a point, or it can be to take someone to court and plead your cause before a judge. And God will not always chide. He will not always plead against us even when we're wrong. Neither will he keep his anger forever. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. God, I praise thee that you're merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. God withholds what we deserve, and that is mercy. Look at verse 10. I thank God for this. God, I thank you that you've not dealt with us after our sins. I thank you you've not rewarded us according to our iniquities. I thank you that as the heaven is high above the earth, so great, dear God, is thy mercy toward them that fear thee. You can take the word of God and turn the word of God into praise and turn the word of God into prayer. When you pray God's word back to him, what's the possibility of getting answers to prayer? That's what we want. But let's look at the sheet of paper you have there. The first one is Jeremiah 31:3. This is Jeremiah, and he's giving us his testimony. He said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying," God speaks, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Class, would you turn that verse of Scripture into a statement about your relationship to God? The truth is that God loves you with an everlasting love. Listen, Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I change not." God cannot change. Other people can say, "Well, if God loved you, why did he allow this sickness to come into your life?" God allowed that sickness that he might conform you to the image of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, make it a statement. God loves me. Give your name. With an everlasting love, it never changes. God's love for us cannot change. God is love. And everything that God brings into our life is because of the love that God has for us. Sickness, trouble, adversity of any and every kind is evidence that God loves us and that He wants to change us to be like Jesus. Notice the next one, and this is for a great passage of Scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. Listen, for whom He did foreknow, in eternity past, God knew you, and in eternity past, He has predestined something for you. Look, verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The truth is that God has predestined you as a believer that you will be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, inside. God is concerned what you are outside, but His concern for what you are outside basically is because of what you are outside affects what you are inside, and He wants you to be like Jesus Christ inside, conformed to the image of His Son. But notice the next statement. That ye might be the firstborn among many brethren. Go back to the life of Joseph in Genesis. He was his father's favorite. He was hated by 10 brothers. In Genesis 37, at least twice, it speaks of his brothers and says they hated him more. Joseph not only was hated by them, but that hatred grew and it grew and it grew and it grew. His father's favorite, the object of his brother's hatred. They sold him as a slave. He marched down from Canaan line to Egypt wearing shackles to another slave. He was beaten. Psalm 105 speaks of the fact that he was beaten, speaks of the fact that he was shackled in iron. He went through such terrible, terrible things. But all of those things that happened to him were preparation to make him a special young man that God could use to benefit his father and the brothers that hated him. All of that hatred came to the surface when Father had made a special coat, a coat of many colors. He puts it on Joseph, and though these 10 brothers are older than he walks down to see them, to check on their herding of the sheep, and they see him in that jacket. And that jacket tells them something very special. That their father has chosen him to be in the position of the firstborn, though they're each one older than he is. And as the firstborn, he is the one who will have the major inheritance from his father. He is the one who will be placed in management position over his older brothers. He's the firstborn and has special responsibility. And my friend, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, and whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and But the big thing I want you to see here is that he was the firstborn among many brethren. God allows us to go through troubles in order to prepare us for leadership. He wants us to become the leaders of the tribe, responsible for others, preparing us to be able to help others in their time of need. Look, all things work together for good to them that love God. To be conformed to the image of his Son, to be the firstborn among many brethren. Look, every problem, every trouble that I face, God is using for good to first conform me to the image of his Son, and secondly, to be the firstborn of many brethren. Write that down in that blank. God is conforming me through trouble, adversity, even blessings. God is conforming me to be like Jesus inside and to be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at the next verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, not permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Let's sum that verse up with these words. God knows my limit. God knows how much I can take. And he will never permit me, he will never suffer me to be tempted, tested, tried, troubled above that I am able. Not in my own strength. Listen. But will with the temptation, trial, trouble, adversity, also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God will enable you by his Holy Spirit that lives inside of you to face the trouble, the adversity, the problem by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you. Listen, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit living in you is never passive. He is always active. He is always in business on your behalf. He lives in you. And he's there to be your helper when you're facing trials and troubles that you would consider to be bigger than you. He will, with that temptation, trial, trouble, make a way to escape. You may be able to bear it. Philippians 4:13 is the next one. You know it by memory. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Very short summary. I can do by God's help what I ought to do. If it's what God wants me to do, God supplies the help of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. He lives in you. And he will enable you to do what you ought to do through Christ, which strengtheneth you. He lives inside of you to be your strength in time of trouble, in time of adversity. Look at the next one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let me tell you about a fella. He was working in the oil fields of New Mexico in the Hobbs area, driving a truck. He had an accident. He was left wheelchair bound. 4 years after that accident, I met him. He had been to Colorado to a special rehab unit that had not been effective as they treated him. But while he was there, a man came by and dropped off a Spanish-speaking Bible to him. His wife, back in Hobbs, had an English Bible. And at night, while he was there, he would call her, they'd read the Bible together. When I met him, I asked him, "May I ask you life's hardest question?" He said, "Sure, go ahead." I said, "If you died today, are you 100% sure that you'll go to heaven?" He said, "Well, I hope so." That's a question or a response that I hear often. I began to show him the Word of God, step by step by step, Roman road, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9-13. Just go through those things with him after we'd gone through the Roman road. Though he was sitting in a wheelchair that looked like a Cadillac, not literally, but it was a Cadillac of wheelchairs, it just did everything for him. But he closed his eyes. He prayed and received Christ as his Savior. And then he said, "It's just so hard. It's just so hard. It's just so hard." He said that several times, right, one right after another. I said, "Sir, let me ask you to do something that is very, very hard. I'm going to ask you to thank God for the accident. Thank God for 4 years in a wheelchair. Thank God for his purpose." And he just almost got angry with me. I said, "Do it, please." He bowed his head. He thanked God for the accident. He thanked God for the paralysis. He thanked God for the wheelchair. He thanked God for the adversity that he faces every day. He did that weeping. I had prayer with him, left, walked back into the hospital the next day, and he was outside. And as I walked up to the door, he said, hey, come here, come here. I came to him and said, "I want you to know something. Thanking God removed the burden of the wheelchair and the paralysis for my life, from my life." There is something about obeying God when you just simply bow your head, sometimes bow your knees if you can, and you just thank God for his purpose and what is viewed as an accident, but God is using it for good. His life was changed. Just the act of thanking God for his purpose. I will thank God for this blessing, problem, trouble, trial, the thing that I'm going through right now. God, I thank you for your purpose. You're using this to make me like Jesus Christ inside. You're using this to put me as the head of the tribe, to equip me to be the firstborn among many brethren. I thank you for your purpose. Look at the last one. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's say that this is the capsule of all of the troubles, adversities, things that are troubling you. God is asking you to do something. He said, casting all your care upon him. He careth for you. When I picture casting, I think of my uncles at a trout stream up in Colorado. And they have a rod. They pull that thing back and they whip that thing out there and they cast that lure. They've given up control of that lure. It's under the control of the stream. Whether or not it gets in the way of a trout, only God knows. But they give up control. I was in a hospital room in Lubbock. There was a big, tall cowboy. He was laying down. He looked like to me he was 10 foot tall laying down. Big, muscular fella. Born again Christian, loves the Lord. I'd read scripture to him, I'd prayed with him, we'd sung a song together. I started to leave, said, is there anything else I can do for you? He said, yes, there is. He said, I want you to pray for my boy. I said, does he have medical problems? He said, no. I said, okay, we'll pray for the problem. He said, no, I want you to pray. He's a drug addict. And God taught me something about casting that very moment. I read this scripture to him. And I said, right now, will you cast your care, your son, into God's hand? And you say to God, God, I can't change him. I would if I could. The medical field, they don't have anything to change him. I know they would if they could. But God, you have all power in heaven and earth. Nothing is too hard for you. You can change him. And God, I'm taking my son, I'm placing him in your hands. We prayed. He put his son in God's hands. I left the next day walking down the hall where he was housed in the hospital. As I walked by his room, his wife stepped out and said, come in here. I walked in. He said, I want to thank you. He said, you changed my life. I said, no, I didn't. God did, God's word. He said, I have had a peace that I could never have about my boy until I put him in God's hands. The son is still a drug addict as far as I know. But father is able to sleep because he cast his cares upon the Lord. Look at these truths. God loves you with an everlasting, unchanging love. God is using the problems you're dealing with for good, for your good. He's conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. He is making you, preparing you to be the firstborn among many brethren. God knows your limit. And God will never allow you to go through anything that he will not provide for you, a way to escape, if that's what you really need. But will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God wants you to bear that problem. I can do what I ought to do through Christ which strengtheneth me. My God, and I've missed this one, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not your wants, but your need. God will supply all. To each of these verses, there is no exception. There is no exclusion. Look, I've loved you with an everlasting love. No exceptions, no exclusions. All things work together for good to them that love God. No exceptions, no exclusions. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. No exclusions, no exceptions. I can do all things. No exceptions, no exclusions. My God shall supply all your need. No exceptions, no exclusions. In everything, no exceptions, no exclusions. Give thanks. Casting all your care. No exclusions, no exceptions. Upon the Lord, he careth for you. My goal for you is that you would memorize these scriptures, that you would personalize them, make them apply to you, and that you would allow God to enable you through this truth to be molded to be like Jesus inside, conformed to the image of his Son, that you might be the leader of the clan, the firstborn among many brethren. Would you set a goal for yourself? I will memorize the scripture. I will apply it to my life. I will prepare for God to use me to help others. Let me give you a testimony of how this affects my life. Laura and I were recently in a prophet's chamber. Our needs had been provided wonderfully well. We'd gone, Laura had sent me to the Subway to get a sandwich for our supper. When I started to pay the bill, I pulled out a $20 and said to the clerk, I said, can you change this for me? My purpose was to have money to give a tip. I then took my credit card and put it into the payment machine. She gave me change for the $20. She paid the bill. I said, no. And then I realized she's new there. She didn't know how to change it. So I just said, okay, took my change. But I didn't do something. But I didn't know what I didn't do until I got the sandwich home. We started eating, and I'd made about one bite, good bite, and I panicked. I said, honey, I left the credit card in the credit card machine. And she said, check your wallet. I said, it's not there. I got in the car, started through there, and the Holy Spirit said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Driving the car, I said, God, thank you for your purpose. Do you know what happened here? Quietness. Peace. The panic was gone. I walked into the Subway shop And the little clerk that had waited on me said, "He's here. He came to get his credit card." And they had it back in the office. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's talk to God.